amazed when we decided to focus on the Psalms this year, of just how many, and I think Nancy mentioned it in her introduction to the Psalms, how the Psalms are the most quoted book in the Bible, and I'm not surprised. And so I just want to share today some of the Psalms that have, where the Lord has just spoken to me in a time of need or otherwise. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have your word. We thank you, Father, that it was written down, that we can refer back to it and we can hide it in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you that we can know what pleases you, and that you can speak directly to us through your word. And I pray that you'll just make this time a time of blessing and encouragement, and just use your word, we pray, Father. Thank you for Jesus, who died for our sins and who lives and is interceding for his children. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to start out, I know some of you won't be at all surprised, but I'm going to start out with, but I just want to encourage you and urge you, and I think Paul said implore you, to begin memorizing God's word. If you're not systematically memorizing scripture, start. Take a verse and just concentrate on that for till you get it memorized, and then go on and do another one and review and so forth. I heard a radio pastor once say, the word you memorize is the word you utilize. And another one said, we can't claim the promises if we don't know what they are. But when we have them in our hearts, God can bring them, and has in so many instances brought promises and assurance and reproofs to my mind when no one else perhaps knew I even had a need. And so I just want to share some of those times when the Lord has just fastened his verse of his promise, or just a certain principle in my mind. And I'd just like to share that and some of those things with you from the Psalms. I remember, and just that it would encourage you, and just know that the Lord knows before we have a need, the Lord knows about it. And in Psalm 139, it says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it altogether, O Lord. Way, way back, about, I don't know, I didn't actually figure how long it would be, but it was around 1958, so you can do the math. Anyway, the Lord impressed on my mind when we were joining a little church in Battle Creek, Iowa, and still just looking to, I guess we were in Bible school at the time, and looking to the mission field. But he reminded me of Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I hadn't specifically memorized that verse, but I guess it just had impressed on my mind that I really needed that. And through these many years and decades, the Lord would just bring that verse to my mind. And maybe when I was letting my mind dwell on things that I shouldn't, or just different times, he would just remind me of that verse. And I know that it has helped to restrain and to guide me and just kind of keep me going. And that reminds me of a little, I haven't got this in my notes, but my little 5-year-old great-granddaughter accidentally put soap on her toothbrush. And she said to her mother, she said, "Oh," she said, "I guess this is a little off course." And so I guess in a way that verse has kind of reminded me and kept me on course, or brought me back even. And then I won't necessarily go chronologically through this, but following that, I remember one of our first years out on the mission field at the station of Catavaca, and another missionary, Margie Martin, came down on Friday night. They lived like across, if you can visualize, a taxiway and just a short walk away. Anyway, Margie came down to see if she could borrow some good reading, and we got to talking, and I guess I shared that verse with her. And then in the course of our conversation, we talked about that verse in Proverbs: "In her tongue is the law of kindness." And that has also just kind of kept coming back to us. And Margie and I have laughed as we've gotten together different times since, how she thinks I was the one that brought that up, and I think she was. But obviously the Lord had something, that was something the Lord wanted to say to both of us. And that's the thing about His Word. His Word is living. And it says in Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And God has His way of sending that, and it is like an arrow. When I've been wrestling with sin or just different things, it does. It's piercing, and God uses His Word. And then about 5 years or so ago, I was thinking of that verse and studying around there, and I noticed the two verses before that, 12 and 13, and that's in Psalm 19. It says, "Who can understand His errors? Cleanse Thou me from secret faults. Keep back Thy servant also from presumptuous sins." And then it goes on. But for a time at least, I was just, when I would wake up in the morning, I would just run that through my mind, that verse, "Cleanse Thou me from secret sins or faults. Keep back Thy servant from presumptuous sins." And that just is a real help to me in just keeping me, pulling me back when I tend to get off the path of going on with the Lord, you know, really having a growing relationship. And along with that verse also, I pondered Psalm 51:6, which says, "Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom." And it's just so good, you know, no one around us may know that we have these envious or jealous or just different thoughts, but the Lord knows, and He's able to just address that. And then another one that I remember that from our candidate school, which was that same year, 1958, when we joined the mission, which at that time was called the Regents Beyond Missionary Union. And I can't just remember the story that this elderly, at least she seemed elderly to me, she was about 20 years younger than I am now, but it's amazing how relative age is. Anyway, she was sharing some of her experiences out in India, and that's about all I remember of that story. But Psalm 126:6 just lodged in my mind. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And the Lord just impressed on my husband and me that verse as one of the promises. We may not see it, but if we keep sowing the seed, and that he's responsible for the fruit of it. And then some of you know that when I started memorizing scripture, it was in a dark time in our lives when we just didn't see that the Lord was doing anything at all in this station of Kodapun. And I started memorizing scripture. And then when my husband was killed about 18 months later, I just was so thankful for the Word of God. And so I'd just like to share a few of those verses now from the Psalms alone. Chuck Swindoll said in one of his books, "We're better able to face the winter if we prepare for it." And that is so true in the spiritual realm as well. Any of those scripture verses that we have in our heart, the Lord is able to pull up to our remembrance. At least I couldn't, at a time like that, I just couldn't concentrate to read the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit, even in the middle of the night, would remind me of these verses. And I remember after we heard the news over the radio that the men had been shot, and then the next morning, the other widow and I, we didn't know for sure we were widows, but anyway, we were alone that night with our children. And then the men who came in by MAF plane brought a new radio for us because our radio wasn't working properly. And as I went down the stairs to the office there, we had been in our permanent home about it wasn't finished, but anyway, we've just been in it a short time, and we had a split level, which is ideal on that mountainous terrain. And I thought, what can I send? I knew I needed to send a cable home to Phil's folks, just sharing. And the Lord just brought up to my remembrance Psalm 18:2. I had a hard time memorizing that verse, but it's the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And again, that just reminded me that the Lord is our rock, and just steadied me. And then also during that time, I can't remember a specific point, but in that same psalm, Psalm 30-32, it says, "Who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." And again, that was something that just I could hold on to in that shaky time, so to speak. Later on, then at the end of my first furlough, and that first furlough was, I shudder when I think of it, because there were just so many firsts for me in needing to speak and to travel and to do deputation, and at the same time, there's so many places where the Lord brought people like Lois Tyndall and Stan to help me, and my parents, and so many. It sidetracked me if I got onto that, but it was just one traumatic time after another. And as I remember, it seemed like every time I told the story on that first furlough, when I get it done, I would almost unconsciously say, "Thank you, Lord, I made it one more time," because speaking, you know, at that time was so new to me. At least speaking to large groups and churches and things, but it was just a whole series of firsts for me, and when I was getting ready for our farewell service at Bethel Baptist Church, the Lord reminded me of the verse before that, where it says, can't just remember how it starts now, but I've run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And that just seemed like a good summary of the Lord helping me through that furlough. And then going back to what I said about memorizing scripture, one of the firsts was in Philadelphia. I was supposed to go out to a missions conference in Vineland, New Jersey. And so I started out a bit early because it seemed like it was going to be stormy. It was in the fall, and later fall, actually. And so I started a bit earlier, and as I drove across the Philadelphia city, it just began raining, and it got dark, and then as I went over, I think it's the George Washington Bridge, as I approached it, it really got pitch dark, and you have to go through quite a sort of rundown area there as you lead up to the bridge, and there was just like a traffic jam. The cars on all sides were stopped, and the old factory buildings were dark, and I really was fearful, and so I just started repeating the verses that I'd memorized out loud, and it's just amazing how it can calm your mind and just to steady me. And I so appreciated that. You know, it also says in the Word, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That verse was shared with me when, right after Phil was killed, Phil and I were scheduled to speak at the UFM conference, we were scheduled to cook at the UFM conference. And in those days, in the 60s, you didn't just go into a kitchen and turn on the gas or electricity or whatever, but we had the big iron cook stoves that were left over from the war days there in Dutch New Guinea. And Phil and I were really looking forward to cooking together and just being with the other missionaries and fellowshipping. And when a person, I know those who of you who have lost a spouse or death has taken someone very close to you. For me, it was like going up and just going at a 90-degree angle, just taking a turn. And so we were scheduled to speak, and the head of that mission, Ralph Maynard, called me on the radio, and he said, you know, we don't expect you to come, but if you'd like to come, it was about a week after the memorial service, if you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. And so I thought about it, and I just thought that'll give me a little bit more time just to kind of get my feet on the ground, so to speak, and emotionally and so forth. And Betty Clark, another missionary, volunteered to go with me. We were, and help cook. And it's interesting to look back on those days. The kitchen was dirt floor. The dining room with the benches out for the missionaries to speak on was just a dirt floor. But it was just the way it was in those days. And when Betty and I went back to our quarters, which is like, it probably wasn't as nice as one of the barns here. Anyway, by lantern light, we would talk into the night, and Betty shared that verse with me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. We do get fearful. And in 2 Timothy it says, for God is not the author of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so just remembering that even David could say, I will trust in the Lord. And then another verse that Betty shared with me that night, or a night there, was Psalm 84, verse 11. The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And that just is, at that point, maybe we can't understand everything, but it's a promise. And so that was just the Lord's word to me. Another verse during that time especially, but in the years since also, when I felt, just overwhelmed and so sad at things that were happening around, even for other people, is Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Just giving me that. When Phil was killed, Phil's dad sent a cable back, and he quoted Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And again, just reminding me that even though it seems like this isn't according to God's plan, that God is in control, and he has it perfectly in hand. The Lord, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, the word is piercing. And I could give you many instances outside of the Psalms of how the Lord just really, like an arrow into my heart, and showing me things that were going on in my life that weren't right, in my thought life especially. But just one instance later on, several years later, I moved back to our main base at Cotabaca, and we missionaries were gathered together for something. Maybe it was just our regular Wednesday night prayer meeting. I forget what it was. Anyway, my very dear friend Ruth Taywan and I were both brought donuts. It was at Ruth and Jock's home. And I really thought homemade donuts are a real treat out there. And I was quite pleased with myself for bringing maybe a little pride. The trouble is, Ruth not only made donuts, but she covered them with chocolate frosting. And as she brought this platter of donuts around, and this, at one time there was about 18 missionaries there at Catabaca, and as she started around, everybody was taking the chocolate-covered donuts. And I was just feeling sorrier and sorrier for myself. And the Lord brought to my mind, that's the only way I can explain it, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And again, it was just what I needed to get me off this downward spiral. You know, I've found, and self-pity has been a real thing in my life, and I found that the more a person allows themselves to think in those kinds of terms, or think feeling sorry for yourself, it doesn't help us or lift us up or brighten our spirits. You just go, it's like bitterness. It just takes you down and down and down. The Lord has brought other things into my life, pointing out that that's never good, to focus on ourselves rather than the Lord. And so I'm just so thankful. I remember that so vividly. And that's the way it is. When the Lord specifically brings something to hit a verse from, or a principle from His Word, it will stick in your mind. And I would just encourage you, as in concluding, to, when you experience those times, or when the Lord has shown you something new in your life, or pointed out something, maybe encouraging, maybe blessing, write it down. Keep a journal. The Israelites were instructed to take a pile of stones so that they could remember. It's been a blessing to me to just pull out some of these old notes I've had for previous times when I've spoken, just to recall God's mercy and faithfulness to me, and just to maybe even pull me back from needing to learn that lesson again. Sometimes we just this old nature is constantly pulling us off the course of living for Christ and enjoying His joy and all the abundant living that the Lord has for us. Just again, I just want to encourage you to memorize Scripture. And if after I'm gone, it is said, oh, she always brought that topic up, I'll take full blame. I can guarantee you will be so glad if you made that a practice of your life, to hide God's Word in your heart. And I'd just like to close with just a few verses from Psalm 103. It's a new set of verses that I've been learning this year from this daily Bible that John MacArthur has written. He gives a different portion of Scripture or a different verse for 52, each week of the year, 52. And this was the first one. It so blessed my heart. Sometimes I just, again, wake up and repeat this, because it's just such a blessing and just warms my heart. And I remember a friend last year in Nashville who invited a few friends who knew me and for a luncheon. And she started the prayer with this, to quoting it. It's such a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So thank you, girls. I just, it's a blessing to share.